Chapter 22. The next day, Lexi called Nans on her way to the bakery.
I talked to Jack last night and went over all our clues.
Was he mad about Olive still being alive?
Nans' voice was hesitant.
No, not really. So he still believes there was a murder?
Yes. In fact, he had a good suggestion. He said that if we could prove that either Connie or Amelia were missing, we might be able to put in a missing persons report.
We could? But doesn't that need to be done by a family member?
I'm not sure. But it's a lot easier to check into where Amelia is. Her sister said she should be coming back, and if she's not back, then maybe we can get the sister to put in the report. Lexi pulled into her parking spot behind the bakery. She had a lot to do at the bakery this morning, but was also anxious to investigate Amelia's whereabouts. If we can file a missing persons report, then Jack said the police will have an official reason to go over to the Pendletons, Lexi added.
Brilliant.
Lexi heard the sounds of Nans covering the mouthpiece of her phone, and then her muffled voice.
No, Ida, not missing drone report, a missing persons report. Don't worry, we'll find your drone.
Then she came back to the phone.
Ida is getting nervous about her drone.
Tell her not to worry. I have a feeling we'll have this case wrapped up in no time.
Perfect. So are you on your way over?
Nans asked. I have to go and do some stuff at the bakery first, but what do you say to pick you up at noon?
That sounds perfect. Oh, and Lexi?
Yes?
Don't forget to bring some of those cupcake tops, and Helen wants a chocolate scone.
Lexi focused on her morning activities, baking several birthday cakes that had been ordered and the usual assortment of brownies, cookies, and bars for the bakery. When Cassie came to take over at 11:30, Lexi was anxious to get to Nan's and follow up on the investigation. She boxed up the requested bakery items, bid Cassie a hasty farewell, and headed over to the retirement center.
I thought you'd never get here,
Nan said as she opened the door and ushered Lexi in. Ida was standing beside the door, eager to relieve her of the bakery box. She placed it on the table and then popped the top off and rummaged for a Congo bar, which she wrapped into a big napkin and shoved into her purse.
Come on, ladies, we don't have time to waste.
Ida bustled over to the door, opened it, and exited into the hall without waiting for them. What's with her? Lexi asked.
Oh, Jason's been after her about the drone. He said it has a GPS tracker, and she's put some app on her phone that's supposed to track it. She's hoping she can home in on its exact location. So don't be surprised if she wants to go to the Pendletons today,
Helen said as she shoved a napkin-wrapped blueberry muffin into her purse.
But first, we're going to Amelia Little's house.
Nans took Lexi's elbow and ushered her toward the door. They piled into the VW Beetle, and Lexi drove over to Amelia's while the ladies munched happily on their baked goods.
On the way back, maybe we could swing by the Pendletons,
Ida hinted.
That depends on what we find out. If we get a lead from Amelia's sister, we may have to go wherever that takes us,
Nans said.
And we need to swing by Susan's, too.
Ruth patted her purse.
I glued the flap of her bank statement back, so no one would know we tampered with it, and we really should get that back into her mailbox.
I have to be back at the bakery at 4, Lexi added. You know, I do have a business to run, unless you ladies want to pay me for chauffeuring you around. She peeked at them in the rearview mirror to see three furrowed brows.
I can drive, Ruth said.
Yeah, but we like to get there in one piece,
Helen added, as Lexi pulled up in front of Amelia's apartment building. They hopped out of the car and marched up to the door. Nance knocked the same as she had the day before. The sister answered, her face softening as she recognized them.
Oh, did you guys come back to talk to Amelia already?
The sister said.
Yes. Is she back from her trip? How was it? I hear the weather was lovely,
Ruth said. The sister shrugged. I wouldn't know. She got in late last night when I was asleep and had to go to work early this morning. She texted me that she had a good time, but she had early cleaning, so I haven't seen her. The ladies exchanged raised brow glances.
But her luggage is here, right?
Nance asked.
Yeah, well, I think so.
The sister looked at Nance funny.
You know, you ladies are a little odd. What are you really after?
Like we said, we are from the paper and we're here to do an article,
Ida huffed. Nance jabbed her in the ribs as the sister's frown deepened.
I thought you were from the ladies' auxiliary, looking for a cleaner, the sister said.
Yes, we are.
Nance shot Ida a warning glare, then leaned toward the sister.
Don't mind my friend here. She's got memory issues.
The sister's face turned sympathetic.
Oh, right.
Well, I don't know where Amelia is cleaning today, but you might come back later tonight. She had the early shift, so she should be out around 4.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you very much.
Nance turned away and walked down the porch.
Early cleaning job, my patootie, Ida said. And I don't have memory issues.
Are you sure, Ida? Ruth said.
Because when we were here before, Mona told her we were from the ladies' auxiliary, looking for a cleaner. You almost blew our cover by saying we were from the paper.
Ida's cheeks reddened.
I'm sorry about that. I guess I'm just focused on finding this stupid drone.
Don't worry, Ida, we'll find it. We know there's nothing wrong with your memory,
Nance consoled her.
So, do you think Amelia really had an early cleaning job? Or did Rupert text the message to her sister?
Ruth opened the passenger door and slid into Lexi's back seat.
If he killed her, he would probably have her phone. He could easily be sending texts to the sister, making it appear as if Amelia is alive,
Helen said.
He might have even texted her about the trip in the first place.
The sister said she left a note,
Ruth said.
Text, note. Helen shrugged. It's all the same to the young people these days. I wonder if we could contact the cleaning company and find out where she is or if she even came in today,
Helen said.
Maybe we could call up and pretend to be her sister looking for her.
Ruth ventured a sly glance at Lexi.
One of us has a youthful voice.
Yeah, but first can we swing by the Pendletons?
Ida's eyes were glued to her smartphone, which was making pinging noises.
Jason put the screws to me about his drone, and I had to admit that I'd lost it. He sent me this GPS app, and I think I got it working. I think we can pinpoint the exact location.
Really?
Ruth leaned across Helen to look at Ida's phone.
Is it that granular, though? How precise an area can it pinpoint?
I'm not sure, but at least we should give it a try. If we find the drone and the video, then we can hand this whole nasty business over to the police.
Good point.
That would sure be some solid evidence. But first, let's get this letter back into Susan's mailbox,
Ruth said.
If the police start looking into things, it should be in there so they can find it.
Good thinking. We'll go there first,
Nan said. Lexi turned in the direction of Susan's house and parked in the empty driveway.
She's not home, Helen said.
B-
big surprise. She's probably still at the Pendletons with Rupert, Ruth said.
You'd think Olive would notice, Lexi said. I mean, I'd notice if Jack was having an affair with someone that happened to be at our house all the time.
Maybe they're really sneaky.
Ida opened the mailbox for Ruth, who shoved the bank statement inside like it was a hot potato.
Well, I'm glad to get rid of that.
Ruth brushed her hands together and looked at Ida out of the corner of her eye.
We really shouldn't be tampering with the mail. If the police find out we did, they won't be able to use this as evidence.
Ida looked contrite.
I suppose you're right, but if I hadn't taken it, we wouldn't know that Susan was also being blackmailed. While we're here, we might as well take another look around, Helen said.
They scoured the perimeter of the house, looking into the garage, which was empty, and all the windows. Everything seemed pretty much the same as it had been the last time they were there.
I don't know what we're looking to find, Nan said as they looked in Susan's bedroom window.
Me either. Maybe some evidence of Rupert being here or the baseball bat or something.
Hey, her closet door is open. Was it like that before?
Helen asked.
I think it was, Lexi said. There's the shirt she wore in the photo that Rupert showed us from Paris. I distinctly remember that cute shirt with the daisies on it.
So she has been back here since she came back from Europe.
Nan's voice turned wistful.
I had half hoped she really was still in Europe, as she told her son. I know. Doesn't seem right. A mother lying to her son like that, does it?
Helen said.
Well, when the mother is a murderer, lying comes easy, Ida said.
Nan sighed and turned away from the window.
I suppose so. I guess I was kind of rooting for them to still reconcile.
Ida snorted.
Well, they'll have to do that from jail, then. Speaking of which, let's get a move on over to the Pendletons, and we'll see if I can locate the drone.
Good idea. There's nothing new to see here, Helen said.
They were relatively quiet on the way over to Castle Heights, each with her own thoughts. Ida was busy fiddling around with her GPS app on her smartphone. As Lexi turned onto the Pendleton Street, Ida blurted out,
"We're getting warmer."
"No kidding, Ida. We know the drone is on their property," Ruth said.
"Not necessarily," Ida said. "The dogs could have dragged it off anywhere." "She does have a point."
Nan's pointed to a maroon Toyota Corolla that was parked in front of the Pendleton's house.
I wonder who that is.
Maybe it's those fan club ladies, Ruth said.
I don't know, Lexi said. I got the impression they were a little more stealthy than parking right in front of the house. Ida had already hopped out of the car and was pointing her phone like a Geiger counter at the front of the house. Sweeping it back and forth, she zoned in on one side and started walking forward. They jogged up beside her.
Are you zeroing in on it? Ruth asked.
Ida pressed her lips together, her eyes flicking from the phone to the Pendleton's yard.
I'm not sure. It says it's over in this general direction, but I guess it's not very precise.
Ida kept walking toward the shrubbery and into the front yard. Nance hesitated to follow.
Ida, I don't think we should just go traipsing through the yard. Why not? I think I got a bead on this thing.
Ida started walking toward the front door. Nance hesitated, looked back at the rest of them, and shrugged. Should they follow? But just before they started to follow her, the front door opened. A young blonde woman backed out of the door.
I just wanted to thank you and let you know how much I appreciated the trip. Even though I won't be working here anymore.
The woman yelled as if the other person she was talking to was in another part of the house. Nance turned to Lexi and mouthed the word, "Amelia?" Nance hurried to the door. Amelia backed into her, almost sending the two of them tumbling down the steps. "Oh, I'm so terribly sorry," Amelia said. "Are you Amelia?" Nance asked. The woman's brow furrowed. "Yes." "Well, it's lovely to meet you." Nance stuck her hand out. "I'm Mona. I've been looking for a cleaning lady, and I heard you worked here." Amelia shot a glance into the house. "Well, I did, but..." Ida had come up beside them. She glanced into the house, too. The door was still open, and Lexi could see the foyer was rather grand, with marble floor and gold wallpaper. It was a little outdated, probably from the 70s, but still looked elegant. A credenza sat beside the door piled with mail. On the top was Olive's notebook. She recognized a robin's egg blue envelope. It was Connie's mail from the other day. Ida must have recognized it, too. She elbowed Nance out of the way and slipped into the foyer while Nance was talking to Amelia about cleaning. "I do have next Wednesday in my schedule now, and..." Amelia saw Ida go in and cast a quizzical glance her way. "Hey, I don't think you should be in there." She looked back uncertainly at Nance. "Oh, where are my manners?" Ida ran her fingers along the credenza. "I was just admiring this beautiful antique." Her slippery fingers grabbed the envelopes, sliding them behind her back and then into her purse. Amelia must not have noticed Ida's sleight of hand. Nance had pulled her aside and was whispering in her ear, "I'm sorry, that's my dear friend Ida. She's senile." Amelia looked sympathetic, and Nance pulled Ida out the door. "Ida, now come along. We're not visiting here." She pulled Ida down the steps, grabbing the card Amelia was now extending in her hand. "Thank you very much. I'll give you a call." From inside the house, they heard Rupert yell, "Amelia, are you talking to someone out there?"
"It's just these ladies from the..."
But they didn't stick around to find out. They hightailed it across the street to Lexi's car and got out of there as fast as they could. Ida's search for the drone all but forgotten.